Interesting Items 0215. Howdy all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. Analysis. 2. Impeachment. 3. Next. 4. Green. 5. Lease. 6. Yale. 7. Censorship. 1. Analysis. Last week, I discussed the Mike Lindell video on Qi-Com hacking of voting machines and the Time magazine celebration of fortifying the election. Conclusion was that both were probable. As I thought about it this week, there is perhaps a way to put it into perspective. The Lindell video concluded that Trump won an 81 million vote landslide over Biden, who got only 64 million. Final election tally was Harris, Zaiden at 81 million with Trump at 74 million. If you run the numbers, Harris, Zaiden picked up 17 million while Trump lost 7 million votes, a total delta in favor of the Democrats of 24 million votes. If you look at the way Democrats have previously stolen elections, they sneak in ballots to turn competitive elections into nail biters, and then keep finding enough new ballots during multiple recounts to flip the election. Once they get a lead, the recounts stop. They refer to all of this as counting all the votes. I am guessing that even in their panicked response to an impending Trump landslide, they were not able to manufacture more than 5 million fraudulent ballots. Even then, 5 million is a lot of full tractor-trailer rigs. The other thing they did was focus their efforts on the 7 states they managed to flip plus MN, Oz, NV, Y, ME, PA and GA. The Qi-Com effort was nationwide and served to manipulate the entire vote count at a scale Democrats never thought about before. Sadly, now that they have been introduced to industrial-scale election fraud via computer hacking of the voting machines, they will use it in every single election from here on out. If Lindell is correct, and if he has the logs, proving this sort of hacking in court will be fairly straightforward, especially since the feds have for decades allowed the use of this sort of white hat, gray hat, black hat hacking evidence and analysis in wire, accounting and other financial fraud cases. If it were me, I would start fighting this in state courts and win case after case after case and get state court opinions that Dominion, Smartmatic and the Democrats will appeal to federal court. Sooner rather than later, the federal courts will be completely unable to ignore these cases, especially if all the evidence has already been presented and adjudicated in state court nationwide. In parallel, each state legislature has to also pass legislation tightening up their state elections. The Democrats, their media cheerleaders, the NGOs, and the race-baiting industry will likewise take this to federal court, where they should lose every single one of these cases. Why? U.S. Constitution gives the individual state legislatures the ability to set election law. Only drawback to all this will be the Pelosi, Schumer attempt to make election fraud nationwide via HB 1. This will be a close thing if that legislation passes. Final piece I don't have my hands on yet is how many mail-in ballots were printed in the new mail-in voting states that the Democrats flipped. 2. Impeachment. House managers presented their impeachment case over the course of the last week with a remarkable collection of half-truths, carefully edited videos, and manufactured evidence. The Trump team took less than an hour on Saturday to blow everything completely out of the water, and forcing a hastily called 57-43 vote which failed to convict. 7 Republicans joined the 50 Democrats to vote for impeachment. These include Richard Burr, North Carolina, Bill Cassidy, Louisiana, Susan Collins, Maine, Lisa Murkowski, Alaska, Mitt Romney, Utah, Ben Sasse, Nebraska, Pat Toomey, Pennsylvania. Of these, only Murkowski is up for re-election in 2022. I can guarantee her vote to impeach will be an issue, as state Republicans are already working on a resolution of censure. Whether it gets anywhere or not is something else entirely. Of the rest, Collins defeated a strong, well-funded Democrat challenger last year and will be in the Senate for up to 6 years. Toomey announced he would not seek re-election in 2022. Sasse was censured by his state Republican Central Committee and will not be up for re-election until 2026. Romney is up for re-election in 2024 in a state that went strongly for Trump in 2020. There are also rumblings that state Republicans are working up a censure resolution. Cassidy will not be up for re-election until 2026. He was censured by the state Republican Party for his vote. Burr announced his retirement in 2022 and will not run for re-election. North Carolina Republicans are working on a censure resolution for his vote. There was an attempt by House managers and Senate Democrats to call witnesses. This was also supported by at least five of the Republican senators that voted to convict. Had that been successful, it would have stretched out the trial until May. Note that if you are a prosecutor, you don't call for additional witnesses unless you are losing, which the House managers were doing at the time. The Trump legal team reportedly issued a list of 300 witnesses, mostly Democrat Congress critters and other elected officials who all called for violence during the BLM Antifa riots over the last year. One report had Nancy Pelosi's name on the list. If VP Kamala Harris wasn't on the list, she should have been. Once the list was submitted, Democrats quickly agreed to make the entire request disappear. 3. Next. Now that Trump's second impeachment trial has gone down in flames, what do the Democrats have up their collective sleeves next? Sounds like some sort of resolution based on the 14th Amendment that will prohibit him from running for president again. Some Republicans have proposed a resolution of censure, though that won't go anywhere because it does not the necessary anti-Trump teeth. But the ever-busy little beavers on the political left have come up with a reading of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment that they believe can be used to keep Trump from running again. The section is as follows. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress, or elector of president and vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States, or under any state, who, having previously taken an oath, as a member of Congress, or as an officer of the United States, or as a member of any state legislature, or as an executive or judicial officer of any state, to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each House, remove such disability. This was one of the post-Civil War amendments, aimed at keeping Confederate officers and officials from holding office following the end of the war. It wasn't particularly widely used, as tens of thousands of former Confederate military soldiers held political office at the state and federal level following the war. The Democrats and their, not so, smart guys believe that by calling the Jan 6 festivities an insurrection, they can with a simple majority vote keep Trump from running for office again. Of course, these idiots completely forget that should Republicans ever hold a simple majority in either or both houses of Congress, they can return the favor and keep a lot of Democrats who cheered the riots last year out of office. Better yet, they can remove those people from office under the precedent the Democrats are in the process of setting. Kamala, this means you. And all they will have to do is redefine the violent event as an insurrection. The selfie invasion of the Capitol was a lot less violent than the looting and torching of multiple cities by BLM and Antifa over the course of last year. 4. Green. The 5-seat Democrat House majority decided they needed to reach down into who the Republican minority puts on House committees with their removal of freshman Congress critter Marjorie Taylor Greene, R, GA, from House committees. Rationale was her support of various conspiracy theories, so-called racist and anti-Semitic remarks, endorsement of violence against leading Democrat officials, and horrors among horrors, entertainment of QAnon. Breitbart had a pretty decent introduction of her so-called perfidy. Washington Free Beacon called it a dangerous precedent, and it is. For Democrats. Reason? As usual, Democrats spend far, far more time with this sort of foolishness, with the difference being they get away with it scot-free. Were they used to? Proceeding with this sort of petty show trial opens their membership to retaliation in kind, and there are a lot more mouthy Democrats than there are Republicans. Imagine a newly ensconced Republican House majority in 2023 removing Tlaib, Omar, Pelosi, Waters, Mifume, Lee, Swalwell and Ock from their House committee seats. And this is just a start. The remaining Democrats are going to be really busy attending committee meetings in the stead of those removed. 5. Lease. Alaska Democrats got another little reminder of the anti-Alaska environmental bent of the Harris, Biden administration when they summarily canceled the public comment period for natural gas leases in Cook Inlet outside of Anchorage. Public comment is required for any future lease sale and subsequent exploration. Local and outside funded green NGOs have made obstructing lease sales their cause celebre and raise a lot of money over the years, mostly out of state. South Central Alaska is an islanded energy system. We either have to drill it or import it, as there is no electrical or pipeline connection with the lower 48 states. Cook Inlet has been the source of natural gas for the region, with nearly 60% of the population of the entire state for decades. Exploration in recent years has provided a lot of relatively cheap to produce, abundant natural gas. Zaiden just turned that exploration off, likely for the duration of his time in office. 6. Yale. The Harris, Zaiden Department of Injustice, that didn't take long, dropped a racial discrimination lawsuit they were pursuing against Yale for discriminating against whites and Asians for entry to Yale. Go through the formal administrative procedure. The lawsuit was brought against Yale last October following years of legal posturing by Yale and its defenders. In dropping the lawsuit, the Zaiden DOJ is telling the nation that some discrimination based on race is perfectly acceptable, perhaps based on their brand new term equity. I could not think of a better way to drive Asians who have long tended to vote for Democrats into the warmly welcoming arms of the new big tent Trump party. 7. Censorship. Interesting story out of persuasion.community via the Truly Times and Zero Hedge entitled GameStop was a warning, elites are weaponizing censorship to keep outsiders out. An alternate title would be, It's a Big Club, and You're Not in It. The piece jumps off describing the insider shutdown of the GameStop trading when it got painful for the hedge funds, as the behest of the hedge funds. Excuse for the shutdown was hate speech, glorifying violence and spreading misinformation, none of which any platform is in the business of regulating. They also locked out investors from their trading accounts by online brokers the following morning. Hedge funds used the 24-hour censorship gave them to fortify their financial positions. New short sale positions were allowed at high price levels, but no additional buy positions were, guaranteeing a positive outcome for the hedge funds. The weaponization of censorship was a big reason the hedge funds were allowed off the hook. Censorship is always justified in response to a genuine outrage or crisis. Problem is that it is rarely relinquished afterwards, and gets used increasingly often to protect powerful, well-connected insiders as we saw with GameStop. Today, the tech companies have all the power and they exercise it as a like-minded cartel. The piece ends with the observation that ultimately, the battle over speech is just one aspect of a broader war for power amid a growing political realignment that is not left versus right, but rather insider versus outsider. More later. A.G. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams, Speech at the Philadelphia State House, August 1, 1776.